please be seated. Jack, do you want to show the slide on the next one? Thank you. What does it mean to live by faith today? And what is faith? People have got weird notions about what faith is. A wee girl in Sunday school was once asked, what is faith? Our Sunday school teacher said, what is faith? And she put her hand up and immediately she said, faith is believing in something when you know it isn't true. And I think some of us maybe think of faith a bit like that. It's, well, not really sure about this, but I've got to believe it, I've got to believe it. I don't think faith is like that. I don't think faith is like Alice in Wonderland, who said she had to believe 10 impossible things before breakfast. And I don't think faith is the kind of thing that having faith in faith itself is necessarily a good thing. Some of you, again, will be old enough to remember The Sound of Music and Julie Andrews singing, I have confidence in confidence alone. And some people maybe talk about faith a wee bit like that. Oh, my faith got me through. Or faith healing. Like if you've got enough faith in faith, the faith will do the job. I'm not sure that that's exactly what the Christian faith is like. And people nowadays often talk about faith as if, you know, it itself is a good thing. I love, and this is an old quote, I love what David Beckham said when his first son was born. He said, oh, we've decided that we're going to have him baptised, but we haven't decided which religion we're going to have him baptised into. We want him to grow up with faith, but what you have faith in doesn't really matter. I don't think that's what the Bible means by faith. I don't think that's the kind of faith that Abraham had. I don't think it's the kind of faith that Jesus asks us to have. Three things, I think, that faith is. Faith is believing in God. And that sounds maybe really simple, but it's not believing in faith. It's not believing in a life force or a spirit or something out there. It's believing in God, the Creator God, a real God who made the world as we see it, who planned things, who planned the beauty and the majesty and the detail and the power of everything that we live in the world, and who made it for us. Hebrews said, faith understands that the universe is made at God's command. We believe in a reality, a real God that we can't see. And that believing in that God is the ground of our faith. It's not believing in faith. What you believe in is important. It's believing in God and believing in that God that is the start of Christian faith. But believing in God is only the start. Lots of people believe in God. Somebody once said, even the devil believes in God. Just believing in God doesn't mean you're living by faith. The second thing I think that faith means is it means that we hear from God in a particular way that makes God real in our lives. Like Abraham heard that call from God. I don't know how he heard it. I don't know whether it was a voice in his head. I don't know whether it was a voice that he could hear with his ears. I don't know whether it was even a voice spoken through a person. We're not told, and it's useless to speculate. But he believed that he had heard God. Lovely way I understand this, and I've told this story before, and forgive me, but I think it bears telling again. I thought about this differently when I watched a film a few years ago called A Beautiful Mind. Some of you might have read it, watched it, Russell Crowe. And it's the story of an American professor. It's the story of the professor John Nash, who was a genius, who wrote a thesis on the dynamics of human conflict that revolutionized evolutionary theory. At an age when most people can't even manage their own money, he won a Nobel Prize for the theories of economics that he was coming up with, and he was appointed a professor at a major university before he was 30. The film shows the world through his eyes. And as a viewer, this is a spoiler alert, but anyway, it's a very old film, so some of you have seen it, and if you haven't, you should. The film shows the world through his eyes. And so, of course, you see the people that he meets, you hear the people that he talks to, you meet his friends, his roommate, the people in his class, all the folk in his life. And it comes as a real shock as the film goes on, to realise that not all of those people are real. Because John Nash suffered from a major mental illness that meant that he had paranoid delusions. And some of the people that he met weren't really there. And some of the people that he talked to weren't really there. They were only figments of his imagination, and some of them were, and he couldn't tell the difference. And in the time that he was living, when medical science wasn't maybe as advanced as it is now, eventually he got medication that brought the condition under control. But for a long, long time, he had to consciously think and train himself not to speak to people that he'd been told weren't there, even although they were as real to him as Anne sitting there is to me. Just ignore it. It's not there. And to tell the difference between the voices that were real and the voices that weren't. He believed that foreign governments were speaking to him through the newspapers. He believed at one point that he was being spoken to by the Emperor of Antarctica. And when he followed the wrong voices, he realised that irrational things happened and he became terrified and he became obsessed. Following the wrong voices was destructive. And gradually and painfully, he had to learn between the true and false voices that he was hearing. And the end of the film is very moving because Nash was asked at the end of his life when he was getting yet another accolade, how did you cope? And he said, you know, I'm not so different from all of you. We all hear voices and we all have to decide which voices we're going to listen to. We do, don't we? We hear voices from the television, we hear voices from the world around us, we hear what the media is telling us, we hear what the news is telling us, what our families have told us, all kinds of voices. And somewhere in all of that, we need to learn to hear what is God's voice and have the courage to say, yep, we've got huge advantages over Abraham, of course, because we've got the example of Jesus, we've got the words in the scriptures, but we still need to have that sense, if we're going to live by faith, that God is speaking to me, and get used to practice hearing what it feels like to have God speak to me when I pray, when I read the Bible, sometimes when I hear people and I think, yep. It's practice. Like Nash, we need to practice hearing what God's voice sounds like. So, believing in God, the creator God who made the world, the God of Jesus, hearing what God is saying to us is essential to living by faith. But that's probably, if that sounds hard, I think the hardest bit is still to come. Because the hardest bit is that we have to put into practice, we have to act on what God is saying. Abraham, I think, found that really hard. He must have been at that time in his life where he thought, God, I could just, you know, do with a big slipper, leave me where I am, in front of my fire or whatever. And we can blank it out, we can switch it off when we think God's speaking to us. We can make up 100 reasons why we shouldn't do this thing, why it's too much bother or it's not the right thing or it might not really be God. And all of that keeps us from stepping out or from living in faith. Sometimes I think faith starts really small, and I wondered if it did with Abraham. I still remember when I was beginning to learn about faith when I was a teenager, and I'd become a Christian, but I was still thinking, you know, how does this all apply to me? And I still remember those early times in my bedroom praying, and I would never have told anybody I was praying. I would have died off if I had told anybody I was praying because it sounded so weird. And I was talking even in my head, I would never have talked out loud, and thinking, is this just me talking to myself? Is this just me talking to the walls? And I never, and that was the first step of faith. But I kept doing it. And then I started to realise that the more when I did this, things happened. And I still remember the first time something happened that was to do with something I had prayed about. It was just a wee thing. I thought, oh, somebody's listening. Weird. Like, there's somebody out there. And gradually you take another step. So you start to learn to trust that voice. And you take a step and you do something and you do something else. And maybe some of us are at a stage where our faith is really at the beginning stages are really kind of shuggly. And just take the first step. You don't need faith for the whole journey right at the start. You just need faith to take the first step, to keep praying, or to keep reading the Bible, or to keep coming to church, or to keep learning more. Faith to take the first steps. But eventually, Living in faith is about acting in obedience. We take those unseen words of God and we put flesh on them. We make them real. Sometimes that means we might do things that people think are a wee bit weird. People sometimes say to me, particularly as a minister, oh, I wish I had your faith. Listen, it doesn't come in the post. You don't get born with an overdose of faith. It's like a muscle. You learn to exercise it as you take one wee step and then another wee step and another wee step, doing the things you're asking God to do. I still have lots of questions. But if you want to grow your faith, we do it by acting on it one step at a time. I want to take the rest of this talk to unpack that just a wee bit more. What does it mean to live by faith in different places or for different people? What does it mean if I'm living by faith and not just by the things that I see, if I'm living in response to God? I think it means that in some part of your life, you're expecting something to happen that only God can do. What are you waiting for or expecting that only God can do? Because that's where we live by faith. If we don't have that growing edge in our faith, we're maybe too comfortable, whether we've been a Christian for a very short time or whether we've been a Christian for ages. Living by faith is like that gap on the trapeze jump. It means we've taken our risk, we've taken a step out of our comfort zone. And it's that moment when you believe you're going to be caught, you believe it's going to be all right, but you haven't been yet. It's that gap, is living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? And I had, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, I could give you examples of people like Mother Teresa and, you know, huge saints of the past who lived by faith. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to think about what does it mean for ordinary people like you and me who live ordinary lives, go to an ordinary church. What does it mean to live by faith? Lessons from Abraham. One of the things it might mean is being willing to move house if you're called to. Your home's your security, isn't it? Home's where you are, who you are, where they know you. Home's where they'll save you from the police. Home's where you don't have to worry about what people are saying behind your back because they'll say it to your face. That's home. There's something about moving, and I've moved quite a lot, there's something about moving house and seeing all your stuff in a van. And seeing those rooms where you've spent so much of your time and invested so much of your life and had so many of your relationships and your memories, seeing those rooms empty. And it makes us realise, it makes me realise every time I do it, that actually I'm a traveller here. Actually, I'm a traveller in this world. When I was a wee, when I was growing up in Bible class, we used to sing this song. It's the words are bad and the tune's even worse. This world is not my home. And you know this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The Saviour beckons me, she's laughing, from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And you know, did anyone else know that? Yeah, one or two. Oh, you should have joined me. We could have had a wee, because that's right, because George went to the same Bible class as me, we grew up. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. That's the lesson from Abraham. He was a stranger and a sojourner in foreign countries. He never did have a permanent home again because he was living in a way that said, I'm following God. I'm never going to be at home in this world. I'm only going to be at home when I'm with God and with the people that I love who are with God. So don't get too comfortable. Being willing to move house and seeing all your stuff in a van actually is good for us because it helps us to realise that we're not here forever. And all that place that we feel really settled, God might want us to move on from there. So what are you expecting God to do maybe there? Expecting if we're being asked to move on, to uproot, to give up something, to let go of something that really matters, that God is going to be there to catch us because that's living by faith. What does living by faith mean if you're 75 or over? Abraham was 75 when all this started. That was a lot older then than it is now because for some people 75 nowadays is not that old. So let's say if you're 75 or you're over 80. What does it mean to live by faith if you're that age? I think there are lots of uncertainties in your life at that age. You're having to live with disabilities, maybe. You're having to live with aches and pains. You don't know what your health is going to be like. You don't know what your future is going to be. Lots of people struggle because they feel they're not the person they were before, a sense that they're being diminished. Lots of people struggle that they're being dependent on other people. Oh no, I've got to rely on my family. I want to do it myself, but I can't anymore. And for a lot of people at that age, a huge thing is the fear that they'll have to leave home. I want to stay in my own home. I want to stay in my own home for as long as possible. Because that sense of being taken away, maybe going into sheltered housing, maybe going into a nursing home, that is a really hard move at that age. What does living by faith mean there? It means believing that the God who has carried you all your life will continue to carry you through your death and beyond. And that letting go, although it's hard, is actually letting go to somebody who will never let you go, who'll always catch you, and who'll always have a home for you, this side of eternity and beyond. You'll always have a home. I remember a woman, again, ordinary woman in an ordinary pew, who was a matron in a hospice, and she did that for years. She was a lovely lady. And she told me once that Christians die, differently than other people, more peaceful, because they have a sense of where they're going. And so if you're 75 plus, that's what it means to live by faith. Something only God can do. Only God can take you through the valley of death and beyond without a fear. And he can do that. What does it mean to live by faith if you're part of a church? Because you're part of a people. Abraham wasn't called alone. He was called to love God and follow God as part of a people, the Jewish people. And there's a parallel there to Jesus then calling out a people to be his own people, to be his church. People who will make it obvious by their actions what God is like, put the invisible God into practice. It means coming to worship on a Sunday morning. It means praying. What about this looks really special? Ordinary people come, sit in pews, we sing songs, we say words, we listen to somebody talking. There's nothing if you're not a believer that makes that special. A lot of people would think, what a waste of time. Even more of a waste of time, we people getting together in a room on a Thursday night or before church just to say words, to pray together. It looks like a waste of time. It looks strange. If you're called to be one of God's people, that's what we're called to do. And that's how we connect with God. What does it mean to live by faith? It means to believe that when we worship and when we pray, with the God of the universe hears us and connects with us. That's living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith if you're out at work all week? And some of you are. It's a long time since I worked in a secular environment. I used to be a teacher. But I know from Stuart and I know from other people who work in a workplace where people aren't Christian, you sometimes feel like a stranger in a foreign land. You sometimes feel as if your working standards and practices are a bit different from everybody else. You may be trying to live ethically. You may be among people who don't want to do a good day's work for a good day's pay. You're the one who doesn't pull a sickie. You're the one that doesn't pad your expenses. You sometimes feel as if people think you're a bit strange. You're trying to live by different values. You're there to help people, to build God's kingdom, not just to make money. Has God got anything to do with that? What are you expecting God to do that only God can do at your work? I had a really interesting conversation with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and I know him very well, and he was telling me this horrible situation about something that's happening at his work, and it's gone on and on and on and on. And I said to him eventually, because this was about we did a lot of conversations about this over time, and I said eventually, what could change? What would need to change to make something happen? And he said, nothing can change. These people will never change. And I thought, that's not living by faith. What in your workplace might you expect God to do that only God can do to change, to make things better? Because that is living by faith. And finally, Abraham again. Abraham was called to bless people, to be blessed by himself, but also to be a blessing to others. What it means to live by faith? It means we're called to serve God. The church, someone said, is the only organization that exists for its non-members. What does that mean in real life? It means on a windy January night, instead of sat in front of your telly with a cup of tea, you're going out to a guild meeting or a board meeting, or you're going to visit somebody, or you're organising a youth event. That's living by faith. People wonder why you bother. People will say things like, do you get paid for that? You don't get paid. You're not doing it for money. You're doing it for God's kingdom. And you know, real life, my biggest temptation as a Christian and my biggest temptation as a minister is not the obvious things. I've never been tempted to run away with the organist or to steal the collection or do all any of those things that ministers are supposed to be tempted to do. I've never been tempted to do any of those things. That doesn't mean I'm a really holy person. I tell you what my temptation is. My temptation is just not to be bothered. My temptation is just to settle for an easier life where I can sit and please myself the way everybody else does, and I don't have to bother getting out there and doing things for other people. There you go. That's my big temptation, and it is. But that is not living by faith. That's not living to be a blessing to other people. So, what does it mean to live by faith? Abraham teaches us that we are pilgrim people. We're just passing through. We're passing through together. We're here as a group of people to show together what God is like by serving our community in our workplace or wherever we are. It means beware of getting too comfortable, because God is always wanting to move you on. We're just passing through. And it means we ask ourselves, where is the growing edge of my faith? What am I looking for that only God can do? Because if I'm not looking for that, I'm probably not living by faith. Those people in Hebrews never saw what they were working for. They never saw what they were going for. They only saw it afar off, and we feel a little bit like that as well. But the lovely bit is that at the end it says God was proud of them. God was pleased to be called their God because they had lived as his people, living by faith in him. Let's take a wee minute to have a think, and then we'll pray.